It's Rebecca on the Morning Mix. My co-host Christina Rodriguez of Mom's House still here in the studio.
I'm here.
And we've been talking about our special guest this morning from 8 to 9, and he is here live in the studio. His name is Willie Knighton. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone.
Christina's been hyping you up. We're going to get to know you today. We're going to hear your story, but first we'd like you just to give us a little bit of information about you. You know, you're from Toledo, but just correct. Chat about yourself for a few.
I'm the oldest of four kids. My mom and dad are together still after 56 years.
Ooh, wow. That's wonderful.
My father's a minister, retired Purple Heart recipient, Vietnam vet. Mom worked 25 years in manufacturing. Still stay in the same home. My parents do.
That's some stability, by the way.
Yeah. I attended Toledo Christian.
Okay.
For 8 years. A lot of people don't know that about me. And love sports. And
especially the Steelers.
Especially
Pittsburgh. Yeah. Absolutely.
I was just going to say, my husband is this huge Steelers fan, and I was never really into football, to be honest, but now I have Steeler. Yeah. I have Steeler shirts.
Yeah, he sounds like a great man.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Maybe you can watch football together.
Absolutely.
Well, Christina, I know we've shared that there's a pretty intense story about Willie, and we're going to be chatting about this.
Can't wait to hear all about it. I'm so excited to have him.
So kind of just a real sum up real quick. You were wrongfully accused of something. You had to go to prison. You got out. God is good. And you're doing great things in our community. I gave it the quickest sum up as I could, but you're going to give the details coming up.
Coming up.
All right. So stick around. Willie Knighton in the studio. Of course, Christina Rodriguez, my co-host. And me, here's Cece Winans. That's my king on 102.3 Proclaim FM. Torn Wells, that was Take It All Back. Good morning and welcome to the Morning Mix. It's Rebecca, my co-host today, Christina Rodriguez of Mom's House.
Good morning.
And I'll let you do the introductions.
Yep. So we've been hyping him up, and I always hype him up everywhere we go. We've actually been in the same speaking engagements before, and I'm like, please don't put me after Willie. No, who's going to beat that story? And he's just a dynamic speaker. So this is my friend, Willie Knighton.
He's going to play us a little song.
Yeah. Willie Knighton, who just has an amazing story of redemption. Mm-hmm. And today he's going to talk to us about it. You heard just a hair, coming in about his little upbringing here in Toledo, Ohio. We learned that he can sing. During the break.
He went to Toledo Christian for a little
Toledo
while.
Likes
sports, likes the Steelers. Yeah.
And correct. We want to hear a little bit more. Just talk to us about what led up to the time that you were wrongfully convicted of murder, and where were you? What was your life about at that time?
Okay. Let's take it back to teenage years.
Okay.
My dad had worked at Libby Owens Ford like 13 years. And he lost his job. So he couldn't afford to keep us at TCS. So we had to go to public school. I would walk in every day from school and see my father praying. He never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Never wavered. He would get a job and be so grateful, but he'd keep praying for a better job. So as he's praying for better jobs, I'm in the streets. Mm. I've jumped off the porch. Got associated with some guys. Everybody said the wrong crowd. I'm going to tell you, I love my guys to this day. For those that are still around, we lost several. But the rest of us are trying to do what's right. But I got involved with the gang life, drug life. And I always had to work, though. My daddy was, he had to have that work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a caddy very, very briefly at Inverness.
Wow.
I was a paper boy for the Toledo Blade. And then I went to McDonald's, and I was working there, but I was still living the street life.
Yeah.
So I was no saint. Started selling drugs. I turned 18 in the Department of Youth Services for a drug conviction. And when I was released, I told my parents I would do right, but I was still young.
Yeah.
And I was just living the street life, gangbanging, hustling, and just, in the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call it. I was in the way. And It led up to me being labeled as the leader of the Folks gang here in Toledo.
What year was that, by the way?
1992, okay. November the 2nd.
Okay.
A false allegation had my house raided. My daddy came home from work. He was at the post office then. And they took his firearms that were locked securely in a safe. But he had one gun in his car that he had had from going to the range earlier. And they threatened him with a CCW charge. Mm. And they arrested my father. They arrested me and my little brother. And basically told me, your father's case would disappear. You plead guilty.
Mm. Wow.
I pled guilty to weapons under disability. Was sentenced to 2 years. They sent me to prison for 2 weeks and 6 days and released me.
And how old were you then?
22.
22. Mm-hmm. And the story goes on because there's something more serious that you were charged with later. And we're going to get back to that story in just a moment. If you're just tuning in, Willie Knighton is joining us this morning and he has a story of redemption. You've got to hear the whole story. So stick around. Here's We Are Messengers, Concord and Company, 1,000 times. Flame FM. Good morning. It's Rebecca. Thanks for joining me on your Wednesday, and I hope it's going well. My co-host today, Christina Rodriguez of Mom's House, and we have a special guest in the studio today telling his story, Willie Knighton. And to sum up what Willie's shared so far, Christina.
Yeah. So far, we've gotten to the point, Willie, who was wrongfully convicted in 1997. He's born and raised, grew up here in Toledo. When he got a little older, he started getting involved in gangs and got into a little trouble and became a target when it came to his gang activity and really was running the gang at one point.
Here in Toledo,
yes. And fast forward to, you know, his praying dad that just was on his hands and knees praying for his son constantly. So he did some time, came back out, and now we're going to get to the space of the wrongful conviction and how that all played out in his life.
Good morning, Willie.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your story. Yeah. And so,
thanks for having me.
Picking up where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
So you're out of jail in just a short little stint there,
yes.
But you're a target.
Correct.
For the police,
correct.
Because
absolutely.
You are head of this gang here in Toledo.
Correct.
Okay, so what happens next?
So when I came home from a shock probation at the time, so although I was sentenced to 2 years, they gave me shock probation, released me within a month, something that was never heard of.
Right.
I wasn't even supposed to go to prison, but I did. So I'm out now, and I'm back to just hustling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gang banging, which they couldn't understand. Because I was making more money. And you can't make money when you have a lot of beef in the streets.
Yeah.
So I go see my probation officer on December the 5th, 1996. After I leave there, I go home, feed my puppy, and I go over my parents' street. And as I'm sitting in the car, a detective who I know very well pulled up beside me, got out just as calm and said, "I have to take you in, man, for murder."
Whoa.
No guns drawn, no none of that.
Wow.
And I just looked him in his eyes.
I mean.
I said, "You know I ain't killed nobody."
Wow.
And so he took me to the station right there at Scott Park campus. So this detective walked in. I said, "You know I'm innocent on this charge of killing anyone. Where's my attorney?" And I never heard from the police again. I was charged with murder. I waived my right for a jury trial and went with the judge. Because I know that the prosecution can trick a person that doesn't know the law.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't trick a judge.
Yeah.
And I was found guilty in a bench trial, sentenced to 10 to 25 years for attempted murder, one count, and sentenced to 18 years to life.
Mm.
And I couldn't do any more time in the county jail. I had already contemplated suicide. So I said, sentence me right now.
Yeah.
And I received my sentence, and I was ready to get shipped out. And later that night, I just prayed. And I said, "Lord, just speak through me through this pen." And I wrote the judge who had found me guilty. So they didn't ride me out. So I'm like, I should be shipped to prison by now. Uh-huh. Well, my attorney came in and said, "The judge wants you to apply for a new trial."
Okay.
Evidence came up that could clear me. But somehow the witnesses were basically told not to show up by law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to prison.
Wow.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I was a criminal. I deserved prison.
Mm-hmm. But not for that.
For killing a man I've never seen.
Right.
Yeah. But God is amazing, and he does all things according to his will.
Yeah.
He does. He does. How many years did you spend in prison?
11 days short of 13 years.
Wow. And what did you do during your time in prison?
I became a mentor. I put down my gang ties. I quit using drugs in prison.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the gentlemen who I had beef with, who I called the new word is ops. Mm-hmm. I squashed all that beef.
Nice.
Yeah.
We became men in prison because we were serving a lot of time. I got into my Bible. I didn't know law, but I knew the Lord. So I didn't waste my time in the law library.
Come on.
I would just write the judge, Your Honor, I'm not going to let you forget that you made a mistake, sir.
Mm.
And I just continue to write the judge.
Persistence.
Year
yes.
After year after year, trusting God. And I received a miracle. I mean, like, I received a miracle.
Oh, and we're going to talk about that miracle coming up. First, I got to know, how many letters do you think you wrote that judge?
Over 100,
wow.
They say.
Wow. That is persistence. That is persistence.
Man, that's faith.
What else did you do in prison?
Yeah.
I mean, letters. Still, like, some people would have given up, you know.
Yeah, it's so true. Willie Knighton in the studio this morning sharing his redemption story. Stick around. There is more. You got to hear it. Here is Ren Collective, Fight of My Life. The latest by Katie Nicole, such a tiny little thing with a big old voice. Have your way. Good morning. It's Rebecca on the Morning Mix along with my co-host Christina Rodriguez of Mom's House. We have a special guest in the studio we've been talking about, and we've been hearing his story this morning. His name is Willie Knighton.
Yeah.
And it's a pleasure to have you here, Willie, sharing your story. We have some text messages coming in that it's impacting already. Yeah. So your story. And it's important to remember that your story, you know, my story, your story impacts people.
Yeah.
And don't, you know, neglect sharing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't neglect sharing it. And we're glad to hear yours this morning. So we're going to recap for those just tuning in where we are so far. Christy, yeah. I'll let you do the recap.
Willie has been born and raised right here in Toledo, Ohio. Got involved in some gang activity, street activity, but had parents who were ministers and really were praying parents. And really probably prayed him right through the situation. And just as he was walking through the hard parts of life, he became a target as a gang leader and was wrongfully convicted of murder. And we were like on a little cliffhanger at the end of that last conversation.
Because you were in jail for just short of 13 years,
prison.
Correct? In prison. Not jail. Prison, which is, prison is much, much worse. Okay, so prison for almost 13 years.
Yeah.
And wrongfully accused. You wrote at least 100 letters.
They say.
The judge that convicted you wrongly. And so take us from that point on. What happened?
Okay. So when I got to prison, you know, you get a direct appeal. Mm-hmm. And it was automatically shot down. And so you live life. You know, I was at one of the most dangerous prisons here in Ohio called Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on National Geographic and type in predators behind bars. And it'll show you where I was at.
Wow.
This was 4 years after the Lucasville riot.
Mm-hmm.
So it was serious. It was a dangerous facility. I had a contract on my life while I was in prison.
Wow.
But I just trusted God.
Yeah.
I mean, the upbringing that my mom and dad instilled in me showed me that this God that I've never seen is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I have to know him for myself.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew what it would take to get me there. He knew exactly what it would take. So I'm in prison now. I'm in Lebanon. One day, the captain come to me and say, hey, you have influence down here in this prison, but we need y'all to stop, you Toledo guys. There's a prison being built in your city. He gave me the newspaper, mm-hmm. and I shared it with all the Toledo guys. Mm-hmm. Listen, let's stop all this foolishness so we can get home.
Yeah.
So I was so grateful, and one day they came and told me I couldn't go.
Oh.
They said that they wouldn't accept me. I didn't get mad. I got on my knees, and I prayed.
Yeah.
And that first 44... that transferred, I was on the bus. Before he left, I said, stop, let us pray. Did we make it home safely? And so when I got to Toledo, I was there for 18 months. One day, I got into altercation. I went to segregation. And next thing I know, I'm being transferred to the county jail.
Oh.
The judge wants to see me in his chambers.
Is this the judge?
Correct.
From, okay.
Correct. No, I was not on his docket. I didn't have a court case.
Wow.
Just God wanted to see me in his chambers. Now, I'm embarrassed because here I am, a broken foot almost, black eye from a fight.
Now, I'm going looking your best.
I'm going to look like a thug.
Yeah.
But when I went in there, he told me, he said, Mr. Knighton, the wheels of justice turn slow, but they are turning. And that encouraged me.
Wow.
I thought I was going home.
Yeah.
I was praying, but I didn't. I
went back. That message, though? I don't mean to interrupt you. Yeah. Was that maybe him saying, I know you're innocent?
It could have been.
Okay.
I don't speculate, but he encouraged me enough.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back to prison, to Toledo, I thought I was going to get out. I didn't. The warden transferred me back to Lebanon.
Oh.
And my parents were in the visiting, and my dad said, when are you going to grow up?
Mm.
And it hurt. Because they couldn't travel 3.5 hours
mm-hmm.
to come see me because my mother has a bad back.
Mm-hmm.
So I received maybe one visit in the next 2 years. And then I transferred to Lima. And all this time, I was still in the church. All this time, I sing. Wherever I go, I was in the church gospel group, wherever I went.
Mm-hmm.
And got to Lima, and I was just trusting God. And every time that the legal mail would come, I would just know that one day I'm going to get that letter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my most favorite day of the week was Monday. Because I have 5 days of legal mail to come.
Yeah.
Friday come, it's like a bummer.
Yeah.
So one day I received a letter and I just broke down in tears.
What did that letter say?
What does the letter say? I know we're like,
I know.
The letter was from Judge Scow. He said, I have become increasingly persuaded that my finding of guilt was erroneous.
Mm.
And it is more likely that this man is innocent of the underlying charges. This case has weighed heavily on my heart for the last 12 and a half years.
Mm.
And it was the governor, Ted Strickland.
Wow.
Yeah. And he gave it to the governor, and then he passed away 2 months later.
Oh my goodness.
So he does a norm release.
Wow. But his daughter does.
Yes, absolutely.
His daughter
weighing
does.
Heavily on my heart for 12 years, just to think that. You know, I've got to believe that those prayers,
You
know, were touching him and those letters and the persistence of that and God on your side, even the ups and downs. You know, I'm listening to your story because a lot of times when we pray for things to happen in our life, we think it's going to be an uphill ascent then.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm going to pray and I'm going to move up a little notch on the ladder. I'm going to pray, I'm going to move up.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you're moving up and down and up and down. It may look like that in life because here, you know, you get to go to Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're bounced all around back to Lebanon. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like that up and down. Mm-hmm. And for many, sometimes we'll go, oh, God's not hearing my prayers. It's not going as planned. Our plan.
Yeah.
But God's got a bigger plan.
Yes.
Doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Has
wow.
the biggest plan. So my prayer became, Lord, if I'm never released, I will serve you until I die.
Oh, wow. I love that.
And it seemed like after I started praying that, I was released. Because I found godliness and contentment in prison. Yeah.
Wow. It's a surrender, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It
Absolutely.
Certainly is.
And we're going to find it there.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is amazing. And what a lesson for all of us. Because I don't, just thinking about my own life, I don't even feel like I have that much faith, Willie.
Yeah.
And it's real. It's real, that
it's
faith
real.
In God. And we're gonna hear more from Willie Knighton in just a few moments. He's been sharing his story of redemption this morning. Released from prison after almost 13 years, wrongfully accused. And we're gonna see what he's doing today. Stick around. Here's Casting Crowns. It's the Morning Mix on 102.3 Proclaim FM. And it is Wednesday. This is Rebecca and Christina Rodriguez of Mom's House is my co-host today. And our special guest this last hour, Willie Knighton. And I'm telling you what, I just want to hear more and more and more.
Yes.
And we had a listener just text in and ask if you've written a book. So we're just putting that out there.
Yes. We asked at the break if we were like, this could be a whole movie.
A whole movie. Your life. And wow. So I understand you might just be tuning in and you go, I don't even know anything about Willie. What is going on? So we're going to try to sum it up quick, but this is the good news. This whole interview has been recorded.
Yes.
And I will get this posted on our Proclaim FM Facebook page as soon as we can get it together. We'll have links to that available if you missed any of it. But just a quick recap.
Yeah.
Christina does the recaps.
Yep. I'm the recapper. So Willie, a good friend and born and raised right here in Toledo, Ohio, grew up with parents that were ministers and got involved in some challenging behaviors through some gangs and the streets. was convicted, wrongfully convicted of murder, served 13 years in prison, wrote over 100 letters to the judge, and the judge himself wrote a letter to the governor.
Correct.
And started the process of getting Willie released early. And we heard a little bit about his story while he was in prison, back and forth, how his faith was very consistent. After hearing his story, I was going up and down, like, oh gosh, yeah. No, up, down. Yeah. However, he was steadfast, and he got the letter, is the last thing we talked about.
Yes.
And so when you got the letter, tell us what happened next.
So when the letter came, it was still several months later. By this time, I had lost 3 of my 4 grandparents. They had passed away. Mm. On Mondays and Tuesdays in prison, the chaplain offices closed. So all your death notices come from the captain instead of the chaplain. So I was told, inmate Knighton, report to the captain's office after count. I was like, wow. Mm. My grandmother, who was the one that was sick all those years, I said, she passed away on me. Mm. But my cellmate said, you about to go home, bum. And sure enough, I went to the captain's office and they was clapping. They said, we've never seen this before.
Wow.
Governor Strickland sent down a commutation, said to be immediate release tomorrow morning. Now, I was hurt because I had just left commissary and spent $50.
Yeah.
Because I was going to cook my 13th Thanksgiving meal.
Wow.
For the guys in our little group.
Oh, wow.
From a microwave.
Oh, my. And so you were almost looking forward to that.
Yeah,
now I can't do it. I got to go home. Yeah.
And
but
so,
you gladly went home.
Yes, I did. Yeah. So they asked me, do you want the media to be outside the prison? I said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't know was the media would be at my house.
Oh, really?
So yeah. When we turned the corner, I seen these big old tubes, 13, yeah. 11, 24. Mm-hmm. And they interviewed me and had about 50 people outside.
Wow.
Waiting for me. And they asked me what I want to do. I said, I want to study scripture and continue singing. I never want to go back in prison,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm-hmm. And you never have.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do.
Yeah. Well, you go in prisons for a different reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we're going to talk about now. Yeah. Okay. So what are you doing now?
So I work in reentry, helping men and women who are coming out of incarceration. I realize that our prison system is not full of criminals, but those who are living with undiagnosed mental health and untreated substance use disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And because of those things, they commit crimes, and we have to protect the community so they end up in prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I went and obtained my CDCA that I could, and that's the smallest of a license that you need in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lived experience, so I work and help them reacclimate themselves.
Wonderful.
When they come home.
Yeah.
And to make it work, you need community buy-in. And we have that in Northwest Ohio.
Yeah.
From our mayor's office on down.
That's wonderful.
Law enforcement, judicial system, we have it.
Yeah.
So a person is without excuse.
Yeah.
Coming back to Toledo, Ohio, that says, I can't make it.
Because there's helps.
Yeah.
Readily.
And so I contract with Goodwill Industries of Northwest Ohio. You know, people know of Goodwill for clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We way more than that.
Oh, absolutely.
Way more
absolutely.
Than that. And so they open up a lot of opportunities for people to come in. You could come in and get on the computer's resume building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we help mothers with STNA. We do a lot.
Yeah.
Forklift certifications. We do a lot over there. Birth certificates, state IDs. Barriers. If you have, we try to figure out a way. And if we can't, we should have the resources and who to contact.
Yes. Wow.
So
I love
it's
this.
Community. It's not just one.
Uh-huh.
It has to be. So we knock down the silos. And I also mentor at-risk youth.
Okay.
Especially those with gun violence.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's sad because I lost my sister.
Mm-hmm.
She was delivering pizza for Happy's Pizza.
Oh, I didn't know that was your sister. Wow.
My baby sister.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Shot and killed for 30 cents by a 15-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And so I had been working with the youth before that, but I don't want nobody to ever get that call that my mother received.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I work also with the addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 years ago, I lost my only brother.
Mm.
So out of 4 siblings, there's 2 of us left. My parents had to bury 2, and my father eulogized them both.
Wow.
Shows what kind of man he is. Just,
oh, yeah. I've heard nothing about you
have a hope,
him.
Don't you, Willie, though?
Absolutely.
That you cling to. And I understand without this hope in Jesus Christ, there is none.
There is none.
Because we're going to go through things in this world.
Absolutely. Romans 8:18 says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
I'm going to get teared up on that one.
Oh, Willie. I mean, my faith is growing just by being right here next to you. But there's so much more God has for your story.
The Lord willing.
Lord willing. Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. It is. I mean, just if that's the case, we're all going. But And then you also have a TED Talk that you've done.
Yeah, I have a local TED Talk that I'm trying to get some momentum behind. If you go to YouTube and type in Willie Knighton, it's titled The Condition of RC.
Okay.
And I'm trying. I love to speak. I love to share not only my story, but the work that we do.
Yeah.
Because my supervisor was my cellmate in prison.
Wow.
Now he gets to tell me what to do.
Oh, I bet he loves that.
Yeah. And I brought him aboard after he came home after 13 years himself and walked him through reentry. Then I resigned from a place, and the guy who I mentored now took my place, Dan Williams.
Amazing? That's unreal.
So, you know, I tell people like this, when you know your worth, help somebody else.
Yes.
Because they won't push you out the door, but up the ladder.
Uh-huh. Oh, my
goodness. Come on, Willie. Wow. Now you're preaching.
And we, you know, I just want to say, we're running out of time. We could talk for a long time and just, you know, chat with Willie and hear more and more and more. But if you want to hear the story he shared this last hour, it is recorded. I will have links to that up on our social media pages, probably our website as well. I'll make sure you know how to get to it. But Willie Knighton, search him on YouTube, Willie Knighton, so WILLIE.
Correct.
And Knight, like KNIGHTEN. Search him on YouTube. Watch his TED Talks, The Condition of RC. And I hope this is not the last that we hear from you, Willie. I would love to have you back.
Yeah, and if you're a church or an organization that's looking for a speaker, reach out.
Yes.
Willie's your guy.
Absolutely.
Willie's your guy. I am inspired and I'm feeling full.
Me too.
Yeah.
This is very good morning.
And then you can feel it actually in the room.
You can.
It feels like the atmosphere. You could just feel like the Holy Spirit is here.
It's a faith builder for sure. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Willie. Thank you.
God bless. And Christina, thank you as usual for coming in.
Thanks.
And I am with you for another hour. So stick around. You know, I got a lot of great music and things to share. Here's Brandon Lake, Hard Fought. Hallelujah. Fitting song.